looking good. Tell them that you're glad they're in church with you this morning. All right, you may be seated. We are continuing our generous series. Has anybody enjoyed the generous series?
Yes.
Good. We hope that it's making you more generous. That's the goal. And hopefully we're finding reasons and we're finding new opportunities to give to God. And we're so excited about the harvest offering and what God's going to do through that. Real quick, if you have a child in Kids Blast, you need to make sure you pick them up personally. They must leave with the person who brought them. And that's such a great event we have going on next door. But we're going to continue the generous series today. And we're going to go on to part four. And today I want to talk about the river of generosity. The river of generosity. In Isaiah chapter 43, the prophet Isaiah says this. He says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth, do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people, the people who I formed for myself might declare my praise. Yet you did not call on me, O Jacob, but you have been weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me your sheep for burnt offerings or honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with offerings or wearied you with frankincense. You have not brought me sweet cane with money or satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices, but you have burdened me with your sins and you have wearied me with your iniquities." All right, so in this passage, Isaiah is giving, speaking through the Holy Spirit, through the voice of God, telling Israel that it was always God's will for them to be a special people for him, and that they could be like a river in the desert, that they could provide life to everybody, they could bless everybody, and that they in turn would be blessed. And that's really what the calling of us as God's people, the church, is to be a river in the desert. It's to be water that flows to dead places and blesses and brings life. But we see here that they rejected this calling. And he says one of the ways that they rejected this calling was they did not bring offerings to God. They did not bring their sacrifices to God. That really they were unthankful and they missed their calling as God's holy people because they were not generous to him. And so we want to be generous to God because we have a calling upon our life to be a river in the desert, to be a source of blessing to this world. And he says in verses 23 and 24, "You have not brought me your sheep for burnt offerings or honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with offerings." Then he says in verse 24, he says, "You have not brought me sweet cane with money or satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices." And so being generous to God is very important because it displays the priority that he has in our life. And if we aren't generous to him and if we aren't generous to other people, we're not living in the calling that God has for us to be a river in the desert. How many wants our church to be like a river in the desert? It wants to be a source of life, wants to bring life where dead places are at, wants to be a place where people can come and get ministered to, like an oasis where they walk away feeling better than when they came, and they feel grace where there's condemnation, there's healing where there's pain. How many wants that to be the type of church that you belong to, and how many wants to be a part of that? How many wants to be a river of God's blessing? But the way we do that is we have to be generous. We have to be generous to God with our tithes and offerings. We have to be generous to other people. We have to be generous with our time. As we talked about throughout the series, we have to be generous with the gospel. We have to have a generous heart. And so Israel, they missed their purpose by being that people, to be a blessing to the world. And oftentimes we can miss that purpose when we live selfishly and we don't be the river that God has called us to be. You know, in John chapter 7, Jesus makes this statement. He says, "He who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart," or out of his belly, and other versions say, "will flow rivers of living water." Now, Jesus here, he's talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. which was to be poured out upon his disciples. But what I think what he's really saying is that when you connect with me, and when the Holy Spirit's moving in your life, it's like rivers flow out of you to bless others. It's almost like we become walking Jesuses, where he begins to do his work through us, and we become his hands and his feet. And it's like a river that just springs forth, that God gives us the words, God gives us the actions, God gives us the thoughts to bless other people. And so we want rivers of life-giving resources to come out of us and to bless other people. We want to be life-giving. How many knows that there's enough death-giving resources in this world? There's enough death. There's enough negative. There's enough, you know, we don't need to know everything that's going on bad in the world because we know it's out there. But we need to be sources of life and grace. Wherever we go, there's life. That's what Jesus came to do, to what give us life and give it more abundantly. And I want to tell you today, there is life is here today for you. There's a new life where you can walk in the strength that God has for us. And so we want to be a river. You know, when you think about a river, it both receives and it gives, right? It receives and it gives. It can't be a river if it doesn't receive water. But one of the things that defines a river is that it also gives. That you think about the Mississippi. So many bodies of water that flow into it and flow out of it. Right. Think of the Mississippi starts all the way, I think it's in Minnesota, and flows all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. And what rivers do is they release life to other sources, whether it be plants, other bodies of water, that it releases life. See, civilization largely is built around rivers. Why? Because they are a source of life. And so we want to be a river of blessing to other people so that they can grow and be blessed. And a generous person is like a free-flowing river. They receive from God, and then they give out. They receive from God, and they give out. And the opposite of this is a lake. Or if you want to probably come up with a really good biblical example is the Dead Sea. Water flows into it, but it has no outlet, and so it just dies. That it's a lifeless, dead place. And when all we do is take, but we don't give, God's resources that he gives us become a dead end, and they die. I don't know about you, but I want to be a river. I want to give and take. I want to bring in so I can give out. I want to be able to receive God's blessings. That's a part of being a blessing, so that I can give to others. And as we sung about earlier today, I'm blessed to be a blessing. I'm blessed to be a blessing. God hasn't blessed us so that we can become a dead sea and just take and take and take and never give out. But when we are a river, things live around rivers. Things grow in abundance around rivers. And so we want to be a river of blessing to the kingdom of God. We want to be a river of blessing to this world. You know, the problem is we have a lot of people who love to get and get and get, but they never want to give. We have feeders and then we have eaters. And how many knows that you got to have a little bit of both? You got to be willing to take in, but also to give out. And if all we had was a church full of takers, and oh, we're just looking for what I can get, what I can keep, nothing's going to get done. But we have people that can be blessed by God so that they can give. That's when we have the river of blessing alive in our church. And so when we refuse to be generous to God and to others, we become a dead place. God isn't going to trust us with resources if he knows that it's just going to go there to die. Can I get an amen? That God isn't going to bless us if he knows that other people aren't going to be blessed because we're missing our calling as his kids. He's called us to be a river, to be good stewards. And to be a good steward is I'm loaning what God has given me so I can give and bless other people. And the more you learn that concept, I want to promise you, the more God will bless you. And I want to issue a challenge this morning. And we're going to call it the 60-day tithing challenge. And maybe you just have never been in a position in life to tithe. Maybe you haven't been taught it. Maybe you just haven't practiced it. Well, I want to give you the opportunity. The next 60 days, give 10% of your income to God. And I want you to make a list of things that you're praying for. And I know we can't buy God's affection. That's not what I'm preaching. But I want to tell you is this, is that when you put him first, things begin to happen. And so I want to challenge you for 60 days, try it. Write down some things that happen. Write down some breakthroughs that happen. In Jesus' name, I believe that good things are going to happen to everybody that accepts that challenge. Amen? You know, in 1 Kings chapter 17, we read a story about Elijah. And it says this, sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in Israel. Let's just stop there. Has anybody been in a place in life where the brook dried up? Where the money stopped flowing? Where the resources stopped coming in? And it just kind of came to a dead end and there was nothing coming in? And so that's what's happening here. Then the word of the Lord came to him, Elijah, and it said, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and for your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up. The jug of oil will not run dry until the day of the Lord sends rain upon the land. She went away and she did as Elijah had said to her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. So this woman, the brook has dried up. The resources aren't coming in. And Elijah approaches her and he says, here's what you need to do. You need to take that little bit of flour and that little bit of oil that you were going to make for yourself and give it to me. And Elijah is the man of God, as God's prophet, represented God. And really what he was saying was, give it to God first. And he says, if you do that, you'll never run out of oil. You'll never run out of food. And she obeyed the word of the Lord. And he told her this. He says, do not be afraid. Just obey the word of the Lord. Take me at my word. And that's one of the first things we have to get over, right? Is being afraid. Oftentimes when we step out and we try to be more generous than we ever have been in our life, what will the devil do? He'll put a little voice in our ear that says, I wouldn't do that if I were you. You know, you have this bill coming up. You know, Christmas is around the corner. You know, you won't be able to spend as much on the kids if you start giving now. Even right now, when I issued that 60-day tithing challenge, I guarantee you there were voices that said, yeah, but. Yeah, but you know the things that could happen. You know the bad financial things. You know, you could lose your job. All these horrible things, because Satan will do everything he can to scare you from being generous, because he knows that river is going to open up and God's going to bless so many people if you ever step out. But this woman, she stepped out. And she made a piece of bread for Elijah. And I love what it says. It says, so there was food every day for Elijah. In other words, there was enough for God's man and for the woman and her family, for the jar of flour was not used up. There was always supply. And that's what it means. We sung about earlier, living in the overflow, that when you give to God first and when you take him at his word, the jar will never be used up. God will always supernaturally perform. God will always supernaturally provide when you honor him and you're generous with him and with other people. Has anybody found that to be true in your life? Can we praise God today? And so I want you to see what happened here. This woman, she opened up the river. She could have been a dead end and said, you know what, I'm going to make this little bit of bread for me and my son and then we're going to die. But no, she said, I'm going to believe God. And because of her belief and her obedience and her generosity, it opened up a river that never ran dry. And when you open up God's river of generosity in your life, it will never run dry, because the more people you bless, the more you will be blessed in return. I love what the promise of Abraham is. And we all want the promise of Abraham in our life. because I really believe that God made this promise to Abraham, but I think every one of us can apply it to our life and pray it in our life. And in Genesis 12, 2, when God called Abraham, he said this, "I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Does anybody want that for your life? Does anybody want to be a river of blessing, that all the peoples of the earth are going to be blessed by what I do and how I give? Now, last week I talked about, you know, the legacy that Danielle and I have on both sides because people have been generous. And that river is flowing through us today. But, you know, I can't even get my mind around of how much our kids will be blessed. And we're going to teach them, keep the river flowing. Why? Because the nations will be blessed through us. Not for us to have a big head or not for us to feel super important, but just because when you are involved in what God is doing, you don't have to pray for God to bless you. I'm going to say it again. When you're involved in what God is doing, you don't have to pray for God to bless you because you're already blessed. Because whatever God is doing is already blessed anyway. Does anybody believe that today? Proverbs 11:25 says, "A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. In other words, you want to experience true prosperity? Start being that river. Start taking in and giving out. Start taking in and giving out. Never get satisfied with blessing other people. Not saying, you know what, I've met my quota for blessing and being generous this month. I'm going to kind of shut the river down. No, you always keep that river flowing. Always be looking for an excuse to bless somebody. Why? Because when you really start to act in faith, it starts to be fun because you get to see what God does next. And we've heard a few stories of people giving away those little cards and God instantly blessing them. I've already heard two stories of people the same day that God supernaturally blessed them because they stepped out in faith and they gave. And so whoever refreshes others, they're going to be refreshed. Do you need refreshed in your life right now? Find somebody else to refresh. Find somebody else to bless. And in return, you will be blessed. All right, so I want to give you 3 points today of how to be that river. How do we become that life-giving river of generosity? And the first way that we do is that we're generous with mercy and grace. Generous with mercy and grace. You see, this goes well beyond the financial standpoint. Generosity bleeds into every part of our life. Micah 6:8 says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." What does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 6, verse 15? "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others of their sins, your Father will not forgive you of your sins." So generosity starts with grace. And that is that if God is generous in his grace, that means I should be generous in mine. And we can never outgive God financially, and we can never outgive God in grace, because at some point, my grace and mercy kind of has a limit. But the more I expand my limit of mercy and grace, the more God has mercy and grace for me. And I don't know about you, but I need all the mercy and grace I can get. Oh, that was kind of a quiet hushed amen, but I don't know about you, but I need all the mercy and grace I can get. And so, if we as a church and as we as individuals, we want to be that river of blessing, it starts with mercy and grace. Why? Because every day God gives us mercy and grace. And either we can bottle that up and we become self-righteous, we can become selfish and become all about us, or we can say, "Oh God, thank you for that grace, thank you for that forgiveness, thank you for that mercy. Now help me distribute it. Help me find somebody to love who needs to know that God loves them, and encourage somebody." And if we really want to change the world, we need to be a life-giving community of mercy and grace. Now that doesn't mean that we endorse sin. That doesn't mean that we just say everything's okay. Doesn't mean that at all. What that means is that we find people where they're at, and we bless them, and we love them, and we help them just like somebody helped us with mercy and grace. Amen? I don't know about you, but I've been helped. I've been given uncommon, unbelievable grace in my life by God. And so the church needs to be first and foremost a place that's generous with mercy and grace. And what's sad is so many people have had a bad experience where maybe immediately they walk through the door and there's, you know, 10 indictments against them, why they shouldn't be there. And we want everybody to experience the same river of mercy and grace that we have. And I want to tell you, that would change the world. If people gave as much mercy and grace as God has given them, that would change the world. People would realize that we serve a good and loving God. You know, think of this verse in Luke, and oftentimes preachers say it to rev people up to give more, and it's one of those things, it's one of those scriptures that's almost become a cliche, and we really don't know what it means. But in Luke 6:38, Jesus said, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over." People start hooping and hollering usually when you say it. "It will be put in your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." But one of the things, when we study the Bible, context is so important. Because we can throw out scriptures out there in isolation, and we can make it mean whatever we want to mean. Now, I do believe that there is a principle of giving here, that God will bless us. But really, when you look at what Jesus was talking about in this context, is we need to read the verse before that. And what does verse 37 say? "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." Then he says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over." In other words, he's talking about mercy and grace here. And when we talk about judging not, that doesn't mean that we can't say someone's behavior is wrong. If that were the case, this world would be a mess, because there's all kinds of behaviors out there that need to be addressed. But we do it in love. And we do it with mercy and grace. And what we realize is that as harsh as I am on someone else, that's as harsh as God's going to be on me. And so if we want mercy and grace in our life, we have to pray, "God, help me to give as you've given to me. Help me to forgive like you've forgiven me. Give me the grace, Lord, that you have given me." Can we just pray that right now? Pray that God would expand our capacity for mercy and grace and forgiveness. Some of us right now would be a good time to let go of maybe some old hurts and some bitterness and some things that just have happened that have sent you a wrong way, because God can only bless you as generous as you are with someone else in mercy and grace. Amen. All right, so the second way to have a river of generosity, number two, be generous in compassion. Be generous in compassion. Matthew chapter 9, Jesus says, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" I really believe this, that every miracle, every great thing that God does, more often than not, it starts with compassion. It starts with somebody stopping to have compassion in their heart for somebody else. And we can become so hard, and we can become so resistant, and we can become so blind to the people around us because we get hard-hearted through experience or through bitterness, whatever it is. And we want God to expand us to become that river of blessing. But first of all, we have to have compassion in our heart. And that Jesus, he could have seen all these people with all their problems and said, "You know what? They're on their own. I have a hard enough day myself. What do I need to do to bother with these people?" But sometimes we have to stop and we have to have compassion to let that river flow. Before that river of generosity, maybe to financially give to somebody, before you even see that need, you have to have compassion in your heart for that person. And you have to put yourself in their shoes. You have to say, "What would I want someone to do for me if I were in their shoes?" And that's where compassion starts. And I'm going to say this, if you don't want anyone bothering you, if you want to live a life that's isolated and hunky-dory and no one's ever on your doorstep asking for things, and you don't have to deal with any needy people, you don't want to grow in love for other people, well, you can live that kind of life and you can die broken. You can die full of bitterness, and you can die alone, because that's what's going to happen if you shut off that river of compassion in your life. But if you want to be fulfilled, and if you want God to expand your capacity to grow, and your capacity to feed other people, your capacity to give water to other people, then guess what? There's going to be some needy people knocking on your door's heart. And there's always going to be somebody who's going to have a need. There's always going to be somebody that you need to be generous to. You never grow out of it. It becomes a lifestyle. And so you will never do more if you don't care more. I'm going to say it again. You will never do more until you care more. You're never going to be more generous until you care to be generous. And so if I could contain Jesus, I want you to ask this question. If you could contain Jesus within your immediate circle of concern, in other words, what you pray about, what you think about, what would it limit God to do? Would it just be all your needs being met? Would it just be, you know, your lunch being met and maybe the kids having clothes on their back? Or would there be people worldwide being blessed if Jesus worked within your circle of concern? If Jesus worked within what you get compassionate about, what you have a feeling for. And so we can't contain God, who has incredible love, and not care for people and have a small heart. God will never expand our capacity. God will never expand that river and let that river flow as long as we hold on to our 5 loaves and our 2 fish. You see, when Jesus fed the 5,000, it all started with one little guy who said, you know what, I have something. It's not much, but it's something. I have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he gave away that 5 loaves, those 5 loaves and those 2 fish, and Jesus supernaturally fed 5,000 people through that small offering. And someone passed it down, and another person passed it down, and it just never ran out. Like that woman with that jar of oil. Why? Because that little guy stepped out and said, I don't have much, but here it is. And I want to tell you that if you hold on to your 5 loaves and your 2 fish, which is what we naturally are inclined to do, isn't it? Well, God, I don't have much. Like this woman, God, all I have is this little bit of flour and this little bit of oil, and I'm going to eat it, and then I'm going to die. Well, guess what? If you hold on to your 5 loaves and to your 2 fish, that's what you'll only ever have. You'll only ever have that. You'll never have any more. Why? Because God's not going to give you resources. God's not going to increase that river of generosity if it becomes a dead end. But this little guy gave away his lunch, and it says that everyone there was fed, and then there was leftovers. Why? Because they were living in the overflow of blessing of someone stepping out. Now, this isn't in the Bible, but I really believe this, that I think that little guy went home with all the leftovers. I think Jesus said, hey, go fix him a bag and give him a carryout bag, because that guy stepped out and he gave. And I want to tell you, if you want to live in the overflow of God's blessing, step out. It might not be much. It might just be 5 loaves and 2 fish, but just give it to God and watch him multiply it, and you'll have overflow. Does anybody want overflow in your life? You don't want to be limited to the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes? Because when we get this, when God begins to bless me, when the overflow of God's blessing begins to move in my life, I then become more generous and more people are able to be blessed. And that's what it's all about. Amen. It's about blessing people. Number 3, we want to be generous. The way that we become a life-giving river of generosity. Number 3, we want to be looking to give. Be looking to give. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Paul says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So if you want that river flowing through your life, you got to be looking for some tributaries. You got to be looking for some things to flow into. And the only way that that river of generosity flows is you give. You financially give. You give mercy and grace. You give in prayer. You give in fasting. You give meeting someone else's need personally. We want that river to flow, but you have to look for it. You have to be intentional about it. We want to be a life-giving church. We don't want to be a dead end. We want rivers to flow out of this place that bless the world. Everybody say this. Say the world. Everybody say it. The world. will be blessed by me. Us sitting in the world will be blessed by me. And so every time we receive, we let the river flow by looking for a place to release. And the more we do that, the more God blesses us. And the more there is to give, the more there is to bless. So I want to ask you, what would happen if we had a church full of rivers? What would happen if we had a church full of givers that every week we're bringing in and we're giving out? Every week we're taking in God's blessings because he can trust us. And every week we're giving out because that's what we're called to do as kingdom people. And we are blessed to be a blessing. Does anybody just feel blessed that you can be a part of the greatest thing on earth, and that's the kingdom of God? That every week you get to bless other people in giving. Every week you get to bless other people in service. Every week you get to be a blessing. And does anybody want that for your life? Can we all stand right now? If you just want to be a blessing to those around you, because that is how you